Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Rowan Gormley. How are you?
I'm great, Chris.
Excellent. You're the, what are you, managing director or owner, or what's your official title, Rowan?
Founder.
Founder of Naked Wines.
That's right.
And I was just wandering through your office earlier, and I saw that you won the Multiple Innovation Award for the Decanter.
We did. And also
the Internet Marketing Strategy Award from Decanter as well, which is quite good.
We did. Yeah, nice to have the things you do recognized. Yeah,
exactly. What we're going to talk about today is we're just going to look at the evolution of Rowan, really. You've been in the wine trade for a wee bit, so I want to just have a bit of a background through that and leading up to starting of Naked Wines, and then next week hopefully we'll look at some of your marketing strategies and things like that, so we can understand a bit more about Naked Wines.
Okay.
So, but did you go to university, Rowan?
I did. I went to university in Cape Town in South Africa.
Oh, you're South African?
I am.
I can just, now that you've sort of said that, it's very faint.
You can hear it.
Yeah, it's very faint now, isn't it?
That's definitely there.
Have you been here quite a while, or?
Been here 23 years,
mm-hmm.
And after I finished uni, I'm an accountant, actually, mm-hmm. Failed accountant in the sense I passed the exams, but absolutely hated accounting.
You didn't become a chartered accountant or anything like that?
I did.
You did?
I did, yes. I still can't do my own taxes, but I've got a piece of paper that says I can.
Yep.
And so I qualified as an accountant, came over to the UK.
What was the reason for that?
Well, in South Africa at the time was the middle of apartheid.
Yep.
So had I stayed, I would have had to go and join the army to fight for a cause I didn't believe in, which mm-hmm. seemed like a bonkers thing to do.
Yeah.
So I came over here and landed a job in private equity, which was fantastic fun.
Yeah.
Setting up new companies and helping people, you know, turn their ideas into reality,
uh-huh.
which, you know, when we come on to Naked Wines, part of that is carried through into this. Did that for 7 years. And at the end of that, I met a guy called Richard Branson, who everybody needs a bit of luck in life, and my piece of luck was meeting Richard.
Really? Before we get onto the Virgin Wine sort of situation, private equity, though, that's how does that work? How did that work for you?
I worked for a big company, well, a company with lots of money, not very many people.
Mm-hmm.
And we would help people who had a vision for a business set it up, or more often, people who were working for a big company. We would fund them to buy the business from the big company.
No management buyouts.
Exactly. And then you'd work with the guys to build up the business. And then inevitably, at some point, the business would be sold on and everyone would make lots of money. That's the idea.
Okay. And then you ran into, as you said, Richard Branson.
I ran into Richard and I joined initially to do deals for them. So effectively like private equity. Finding businesses for Virgin to get into and putting the people together and everything else to do that. And one of the very first thoughts we had was that the Virgin brand is all about trust. And one of the most untrusted industries is financial services.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were all talking about, you know, what about spaceships and nightclubs and boutique hotels, which are all very cool Virgin-y things, I said, well, what about financial services? And literally, because I was the person who said it, I landed up being the person who did it. And so with no experience of running a company and no knowledge of financial services whatsoever, we launched Virgin Money.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was a credit card, wasn't it, initially?
Initially, it was an investment scheme and life insurance and that kind of thing.
Ah, okay.
Then we launched a bank. I'm still customer number 4 at the bank. It still gives me a little thrill when I call up and they say, what's your customer number? And I say 4. And they say, 4 what? The credit card actually launched after I'd left. So it's been 5 years doing that.
I thought Richard was looking to buy Northern Rock and all this sort of stuff because he wanted to set up a high street bank.
Yeah, I think, and they're still planning to do that. I pick it up in the papers and I hear it from the guys there every now and then.
Had you been involved in wine at all up to joining Virgin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, going to uni in South Africa, especially in Cape Town, it's right in near the wine country.
Mm-hmm.
So every weekend we'd be off in the back of a, you'd call it a ute, I suppose.
Yeah.
We'd be off to the wine country, and at harvest time we'd be roped in to go and make ourselves useful. So you got into the whole lifestyle and the magic of wine. And, you know, then, right there and then, I thought one day this is going to be the business I'm going to be in. I didn't, when I first arrived in the UK, the first thing I did was went into the shops and looked at South African wines there. And they were definitely the big, boring brands.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, this is awful. The exciting stuff just isn't here.
And when was that, mid-80s?
Yeah, 87.
Okay, but KWV was sort of dominant, wasn't
completely
it?
Completely dominant, yeah. So I started importing wines and selling it to friends and family. And then, you know, as my day job got busier and busier, I couldn't really do that as a hobby. But then I kept coming across South Africans who were into wine. So eventually I set up a South African wine club. And again, it was really not to try and make money out of the thing. It was almost just because I was interested in the subject and into it.
Yep.
And that built up to about 500 people. But again, got to the point where I either had to make it my day job, and I wasn't ready to do that yet, so I landed up selling that. I landed up working with Virgin. And at the end of 5 years in financial services with Virgin, I was thinking, it's time to do something else. So it'd been fantastic fun setting up a business, but yep. 5 years in financial services, I think, is long enough for anyone.
Yeah. Especially someone who doesn't like being an accountant.
Exactly. So I thought about wine. And the reason I thought about it was 99, and Amazon was just starting to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the first people to start buying on Amazon. And the thing I loved was the people who bought this also bought that. And what I found was, for the first time since leaving uni, I was discovering new bands and discovering them not by randomly picking at, you know, like pin the tail on a donkey kind of thing.
Yep.
I was discovering them because they were similar to, there was a link. And
it's about like Spotify, isn't it?
Exactly.
I tell you what, the amount of music I've been surfing.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant from there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I thought, well, this is what the internet really does. This is the thing that makes the internet special. So Amazon's done books. Amazon's done music. Nobody's done wine. What are we going to do with wine? Decided to do that.
Okay. And did you just go to Richard and say, hey, mate, give some cash. We're up for it.
Yeah. And he said no.
Why was his reasoning?
Well, at that stage, Virgin had changed from being Richard Branson and a bunch of crazies doing whatever the hell they liked. There were lots of MBAs and people who had strategic plans and McKinsey alumni and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So one of Virgin's mantras at the time was, we only want to be in businesses that can be worth $500 million or more. So, and everyone, including me, said, well, wine's never going to be that kind of scale of business. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Richard said no. So we did it anyway, working with my brother and a friend, and we called it Orgasmic Wines, and we just worked nights and weekends and launched it. And we launched it, and we discovered, holy cow, people were finding us, wine was selling, and actually there was a really good business there. So I went back to Virgin and said, look, what about it? And by this stage, they'd figured out the internet was going to be big and thought, we need to have an internet business. So here was a ready-made internet business. So they came in, poured in lots of money. We changed the name to Virgin, ramped up the advertising, got a bigger warehouse, hired lots of talented people, and nothing happened. It was a complete disaster. So we sort of sat there burning money at a terrifying rate, and the sales barely budged.
From what you were doing before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Was that because you weren't acquiring customers, or?
We weren't acquiring customers. We weren't retaining customers. The people who were coming, you know, we thought being called Virgin is just going to help people who are shopping for the first time have faith.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Didn't seem to make any difference at all.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we worked really hard and did all the obvious things to do. And we built the business up slowly, but it was still losing money and was never going to get there. Then eventually we were left with no choice. We had to like cut 80% of the cost, move to a tiny warehouse, single office, just slash the overheads to the minimum.
Yep.
And then we bootstrapped it and kind of went back to first principles and focused on the thing we wanted to do, which was pioneering new winemakers. And it slowly started to build. And we got it to the point which was in reasonable shape. And then we sold the business to Laithwaite's, mm-hmm. Direct Wines.
Yep, yep.
And we learned an amazing amount from them about the marketing side, you know, and those guys are absolute gurus at how to take a product and turn it into a story. And, you know, I learned an enormous amount from them. And anyway, we built the business up.
So when it was sold, it wasn't just the brand that was sold to Laithwaite?
No, it was the whole company.
The whole company, including yourself?
Yeah.
So you left Richard's lot and joined Tony's lot?
Correct. After we'd been there about 3 years, the management changed and a new guy came in and there were, I think they called him strategic differences. But he wanted to go one way, which was completely different to what we'd been working on.
Yep.
And in the end, we had a bit of a dust-up and a whole bunch of us left. And this was in the middle of 2008. Mm-hmm. Between the time we all thought about it and the time it happened, Lehman's went bust.
Yep.
So it was a very scary time. But in the end, on the 1st of October, we rented a little room. I think there were 17 of us, set up shop. And we set about creating Naked Wines.
How was it funded initially? Because you're obviously from the equity market, so you probably had very good contacts.
We didn't need a great deal of money. What we needed was someone who is in the wine business, which meant we could get credit. And so we have a German family company called WIV. They're about €500 million worldwide in mm-hmm. turnover.
Yeah.
So they're a big company with a long track record. And so they came in as investors and, as importantly, came in as an assurance to wine suppliers that they were going to get paid.
One of the problems that Ogbin's encountered when they went belly up was exactly the same problem. When they were part of Castel, everybody knew they were going to get paid.
Yeah.
As soon as they got split up and hived off and lots of debt put onto the books, and it sort of all went a bit pear-shaped, didn't it?
That's absolutely right, yeah. So it's a problem we didn't want, so...
Okay, and what sort of ownership are they? I presume they've got some equity stake in the business.
Yeah, they've got more than half the equity stake. And then the rest of the business, every single person in the business is a shareholder.
It's a bit of a startup sort of Silicon Valley style where you'll get a couple of percentage points and you're away, yeah?
That's right. And, you know, that's been a really key thing because in the beginning, you know, we needed people to work all day, every day for very little money. And I'm not even sure it's the financial rewards of being a shareholder, but it's the knowledge that what you're doing is partly for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not working your balls off to make someone else rich. Everybody's in this together. So it created a fantastic team environment and really pulled people together.
In terms of the staff now, what percentage ownership does the staff own?
It's 60-40. WIV owns 60 and the staff own 40.
That includes yourself as founder. You'll have a slightly bigger slice than the rest.
Slightly bigger.
One would hope so anyway. Okay.
No, yeah, and I put money in as well, obviously. So.
Yep. Mm. Okay. And your website, reasonably sophisticated. I had a wee trawl around it before I came in today, but did you hire a developer to do your website? Is your development done in-house or is it done external? How do you manage that?
Yep. The key developers were a bunch of the guys who came across from Virgin.
Okay, so they had good understanding.
So they had a really good understanding. They you know, knew enough about the wine business. And for ages at Virgin, we'd been talking about completely revamping the site. Mm-hmm. And Laithwaite's had always been reluctant to do that. Mm-hmm. To make that investment. So this was our opportunity to do something we knew was long overdue.
Okay, okay. And what would you say is your USP with Naked Wines, your unique selling point?
The key thing that makes us different is our business model is a virtuous circle. The customers support the winemakers, and in exchange they get better wines for less money. And practically the way it works is that our customers are not just customers, they're angel investors. They invest every month £20. We've got 50,000 of them, which means we've got £1 million a month to invest in winemakers. And from the winemaker's point of view, what that means is because we invest in each vintage, they know the wine is sold, so they don't need to waste money selling it. They can focus on making wine rather than selling wine. So the end result is something that tastes better and is more interesting. And for most winemakers, you know, they don't particularly want to be international businessmen and wheeler dealers. They want to be winemakers.
Yeah.
And we let them do what they went into business to do. So by creating this virtuous circle where everybody wins, what we wanted to do was change from the old model, which is all about confrontation. Buyers beating up suppliers, you know, suppliers compromising quality to still make a profit despite the, you know. And I think that a lot of the wine trade is engaged in a vicious circle, if you like, a kind of downward spiral of more pressure on price, more pressure on selling, poorer quality wine. And if the wine quality goes down, you've got to sell harder. If you've got to sell harder, it costs more money, so the price goes up. You know, it's a path to destruction. We wanted to completely reverse that. So that's what makes us different.
Your angel investors, you said they paid £20 a month and you got 50,000 of them. What do they get for their £20 a month?
They get a third cash back. So if they buy a £100 case of wine, they get £33 put into their account towards their next order.
So they effectively a discount of a third off.
It's not a discount because it's cash back towards the next order. So it's always a future discount, if you like.
Yeah.
But what it means is that the best customers get the most reward. It means everything's on special offer all the time. You know, you don't come along and buy something because it's on sale. You buy whatever you like when you like, when it suits you.
Mm.
So,
I suppose. And what's the average case price that you sell?
£78, £80.
So a third is what, £20. So if they're giving you £20, as long as they buy a case a month, they're getting it back anyway.
Yeah, and everybody, virtually all customers, spend slightly more than they put in. The £20, by the way, is a payment towards your next order. It's not a fee.
Oh, okay. So you put £20 in a month towards your next order. So if you don't spend it, it just accrues.
It just accrues. So what a lot of people do is they let it build up for 4 months, then they come and buy a case of wine. They don't need to put any more money in.
Oh, okay. So
it's a nice feeling.
Yeah, okay. I see how it goes. All right, so it's more of a sort of one of those Costco ones for Christmas.
That's right.
Is it in an escrow account then, this money? Or
it is. It sits in a trust account.
Yep.
And doesn't get mingled.
All right then, Rowan, that sounds pretty interesting. I think next week we'll have a look at some of your marketing options that you're looking at and some of the Web 2 stuff that people say you are into. But thanks very much for your time.
Great, thank you.
Cheers, mate.